Thank you, Charlie. Who was touched by that video earlier of Port Care? What incredible work that you do, Pastor Charlie, and their team, Susan and Marg and Jared. Got to know Jared a little bit over the years. I know John goes when he can. And Robert's here, star of the show as well on that video. So it's just such great work that we do in the community. And if you're, you know, wanting to do something yourself to be involved with the community, then, you know, contribute to the pioneering of the Monday night family dinners. I think that would be so great to kick that off. We just want to do as much as possible to share the love of Christ with people. It's so good. There's been some people that have been away. Suzanne, I'm so glad to see you. I know you've been in Germany for a while. And, you know, when people do go away on holidays and different things, Karen's back. It's just so great to have you back in the house. And we have missed you, and it's just great to have you here. So, yes, last week we talked about hope, the promises and hope. And so this week I'm just finishing off our two-part series on hope and really how to hold on to hope. Okay, so let's pray before we get into the word. Father God, we thank you that we can be in your house. We thank you for the freedom that we have to be here today. Lord, I thank you that you do care for every little detail of every single person that is here today. And so, Father God, as we just open our hearts and our minds to hear your word and receive your word today, Father God, that Lord, we would have an incredible word just for what we need. Father God, as you minister and speak to your people today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so holding on to hope. We are, as I said last week, we are going to look at the nitty-gritty of how to have hope in times when life could be feeling hopeless or there may be disappointment or grief. And so when we're talking about the Word of God, we need to go to these places where it's hard and it's challenging, where we can apply the Word of God to every situation and circumstance. So hope, I'm going to start right in the challenging one of how to have hope in hopelessness. How do we have hope when life seems hopeless, when you're feeling despair, when you're discouraged, when you're trapped or downcast, when there's been deep grief or sadness? How do we have hope in the hopelessness? I'm sure many of you know the story, and if not, I'm going to share a little bit today, the story of Corrie and Betsy ten Boom, who were Dutch sisters in the during the war. And this story of these two Dutch sisters really gripped my heart many, many years ago when I was a new Christian and I read her book that she wrote, The Hiding Place. It gripped my heart because I too had relatives in Holland that also hid Jewish people in their home, and they hid soldiers in their home that were of the Allies. And I could really identify to some degree of what these sisters risked. They risked their life for the sake of other people. And so these sisters, Corrie and Betsy ten Boom, they saved around 800 Jewish people by hiding them in their family home. They built a secret wall, a secret room behind one of the bedrooms, and they were able to keep up to six people there, up to six Jewish people there during the war, who obviously were being taken and killed. They saved up to 800 people. But they did get arrested. They did get caught out. And so Corrie and Betsy were sent to Germany, to Ravensbrück, to a concentration camp there, a women's labour camp. And you can imagine the conditions were horrific. They were absolutely horrific. So they had just, you know, rancid straw in their places. From what I've heard about is, you know, that there were three levels where they had hundreds of women there. It was so tight. It was so close together. You could only go single file and just draw, and it was rancid. And they had fleas throughout their particular area that they were. And Betsy, you know, we hear a lot about Corrie because she survived that concentration camp, but actually her sister Betsy had such great faith and hope and trust in the Lord. And Betsy was the one who said, Corrie was saying, there's fleas everywhere. How can we possibly have hope in our God when this place is just horrific? And Betsy was praying, and, you know, in situations like this, praying at all times became the reality of their life. And the Word of God says that we are to pray at all times, and this is exactly what Betsy was doing. God, show us why there are fleas here. And so the scripture in 1 Thessalonians came to Betsy's mind, and I'm just going to read it to you today. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so the scripture came to her mind, and she said, we have to thank God in all circumstances. And so we thank God that they were able to smuggle the Bible into that concentration camp, that they weren't seen by the inspectors and that wasn't taken off them and they weren't killed before they even got there. Thank God that we have this one and only Bible with us. Thank God that us as sisters are together. Thank God for the fleas. And at that particular time, even though they were thanking God in all circumstances and situations, it was still a bit challenging to realise just why there were so many fleas. And it wasn't until later on that Corrie and Betsy, they were able to share the Word of God with all those women in that concentration camp. Once they'd done their work during the day, they would come home and they would have worship service. They would teach the Word of God. They would talk to people about Jesus. They would share parts of the Bible with the women in that concentration camp. And it wasn't until later on that Betsy realised that the reason why they had the freedom to worship God, to tell all the other women about God, was because of the fleas. Because none of the Germans wanted to come in and inspect that particular area, that particular, you know, place where these women were, because it was just full of fleas. And so thank God for the fleas that prevented any of the guards and the security people coming in. We praise God in all circumstances. And so when you are facing a situation or you're in a hopeless circumstance, we can draw off the certain hope that is in God, and we pray even more, we trust even more, and he will renew your hope. You know, Betsy also received visions from God. God gave her three specific visions while she was there. One of the visions was that she believed Corrie and her would be released before that year was out. They were arrested in June. She believed they would be released before the year was out. Her second vision that she got from God was that Corrie and her would tell people about their experiences and give glory to God of how he worked even in the most horrific and hopeless of situations. And the third vision that she had was that they would have a rehabilitation house for former concentration camp prisoners for them to recover. Three visions. When we put our hope in our God, in the hopelessness of situations or circumstances, he will give you vision for the future. He will speak hope into these places where it feels like it's hopeless. So pray to God more. He will renew your hope with vision, purpose, and future. God's word always prevails. And so they did that. They did that. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is trust in God, belief in God. Faith is trusting and believing in who God says he is and the word of God. We have faith in God because he has revealed his son to us by his spirit. By faith, we trust and we have hope. So hold on to these scriptures. First Thessalonians 5 verses 16 to 18. It's a tongue twister to even say. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In all situations, in all circumstances, pray without ceasing. Just pray all the time. Just pray all the time. In everything give thanks. When we have a disposition of gratitude and thanks, everything seems that little bit better. Your circumstance might not have changed per se, but as you have a grateful heart, everything can be better and God will speak hope into that situation. Another scripture in Psalm verse 60, chapter 62, verses 5 to 6, let all that I am wait quietly before the God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. Declare that God is your rock, your stability, your salvation, your protector. Wait on him. Wait for his wisdom, his strength, his vision to guide and lead you each step through the hopeless. Betsy and Corrie, through the months that they were in that concentration camp, on December 15th, she actually had anemia since birth, and she died on that day in that concentration camp. So sometimes we don't think the way God thinks. And her vision that she would be released before the year was out came true. She was released home into God's house. And Corrie talks about the privilege that she had of actually being able to see her sister and see her sister when she had died and see that her whole countenance had changed. She looked younger. She looked, the cheeks looked full. She just looked radiant. She was glowing. What an incredible image that Corrie had of her sister, knowing that her sister had been released before the year was out into the arms of her father. On December 31st, 1944, Corrie was released from that concentration camp. She was the only one called and was released out of that concentration camp. And she later found out that it was only by a clerical error that she was actually released. Now, we know that that would be a divine, you know, error or divine intervention. That's right. Thank you, Pastor Charlie. Because after she was released, the women of her age in the concentration camps were taken to the gas chambers. You know, I have full confidence that those women that they were ministering to and telling Jesus to, that they too would be in the house of God for eternity. How are we going? Going good? Yeah. Going good. All right. Hang in there with me. Okay. So, hope in disappointment. Who of us here today have faced disappointment? It's a given. We face disappointment a lot. And so I just want to take you through to another story. This is a story from the Bible in Ruth. Now, there are many, many, many. When you read through the Word of God, there are so many stories about people who were following God that disappointed God, that disobeyed. And, you know, if you just read, my goodness, David, Sarah, there's so many that face disappointment not very well. And so I want to talk to you today about Ruth, who faced disappointment and grief in quite a remarkable way. So Ruth was married to a man that's name is very difficult to pronounce. It starts with E. It's Elimelech, I think, something like that. Anyway, she was married to him. And the land that they were in Bethlehem, there was a famine. And so they decided to move to Moab. Now, Moab was a place where, there was pagan worship, there was idolatry. They didn't actually worship the God that we do. And so they moved to that place and they had two sons. And they moved there because they needed to survive, okay? So they go to a different place. They go to Moab. You can imagine where it would have been difficult to worship God in a place where he isn't worshipped or accepted. And so whilst they are there, Ruth's husband dies. So she's raising two sons by herself in a foreign country when hardly anybody, people worship the God that she does. You can imagine the disappointment and grief she would have felt from her husband dying. And then she's raising her two children as a widow. This is an extremely difficult situation. She would have been very disappointed. Now, she could have packed up her bags and given up and decided, you know, God, I don't know why you have done this. I'm sure she asked those questions. But she persevered. She kept going. And she raised her two sons. Now, if it wasn't hard enough for her husband to have died and she was a widow in a foreign country raising two children by herself, her two sons, they grew up and they got married and they also died as well. Deep disappointment, deep grief. But she kept going. She kept her faith in God. Now, the Word of God doesn't talk in a lot of detail about her relationship with God or her faith in God, but we know she had a very strong relationship with the Lord because her daughter-in-law was Ruth, actually, and I've just got my names mixed up. I do apologise. Naomi was the mother-in-law. Ruth was the daughter-in-law. I do apologise. And so when we know that Naomi had a great faith because Ruth's response to Naomi, when Naomi said, look, you know, I can't give you anything else. You've married my sons. My sons have died. I know that back from the place that I came from in Bethlehem that there's, you know, food again. So I'm going to go back there. And so her daughter-in-laws travel with her, Ruth and Orpah, and along the journey, this is when Naomi says, go back, go back. You go back to your own place. And Orpah chooses to go back, but Ruth begs Naomi that she would stay with her. So we know that Naomi had a great faith because she had shared that with Ruth. She had shared that with Ruth. And Ruth says, in chapter 1, verses 10 and onwards, when Naomi says, go back, she says, no, we want to go with you to your people. But Naomi replied, why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return home to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. And again they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. And so they continue on back to Bethlehem, Naomi and Ruth together. In this space of incredible deep disappointment, we see that Naomi persevered. Naomi endured these deep disappointments and grief. And she did grieve. She grieved very well, but she kept going. She kept choosing God. She kept choosing hope in God. She persevered. Now, we can look at this story from the perspective of seeing the whole picture. Now, Naomi felt that God had abandoned her. She had felt God had failed her. She had felt God was punishing her from all the tragedies that had happened. But actually, that was the opposite. God was with her the entire time. God was with her the entire time. And God redeemed Naomi. We see the redemption of God through her life, in how towards the end of her life, her daughter-in-law Ruth marries Boaz and they have a son. And that son is the grandfather of the King David that we know about. And Naomi was able to hold that child. We see how God redeemed that situation, how he brought blessing to her towards the end. What a great God we have. Sometimes we are in our circumstances and situations, and when we're in the midst of great disappointment or great grief, we need to hold on to the hope of the future that God has for us. We need to hold on to the hope that our God is a redeeming God. Our God is a restoring God. Our God is a God who loves us. And so we hold on to hope in disappointment. Accept, acknowledge what is happening. Take a step out of the situation. Don't allow disappointment to turn into bitterness or resentment or hatred or despair. We grieve well, we pray always, we hope again. And the third area that can be difficult is when we're just struggling. And how do we hope when life is just a struggle, when life is just difficult? We look at a scripture in Romans 5, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Tribulations here are stresses, are pressures. So we're pressed upon or restricted. It's real hardships. It's real hardships, not minor inconveniences. God uses tribulation wonderfully in our life. Embrace the struggle. Embrace tribulation when it happens. Our character and hope, these qualities emerge out of perseverance. And perseverance comes through tribulations. You may want to have a better character and more hope without tribulation, but that's not how God works. It's through the struggles, it's through the difficulties that we persevere and our character is developed and our hope is increased. And our faith in God as well. Now, it's easy to say these scriptures, but you know, when you're in the situations, I was remembering last week I shared the story about Shekinah and waiting almost a year for Richard to get his job that we had prayed for. And so that job required us moving to Canberra. And so we were moving to a place where we knew four people. They were just acquaintances. They weren't good, you know, close relationships. So a new place, no family support, no structure at all, with a new baby, three-month-old baby. The week before we were supposed to leave, there were massive bushfires over there, very, very large bushfires. And so we had to delay our trip by getting there another week as well. And I remember at the time thinking, what are you doing, God? Why are you sending us to a place that is on fire where, you know, now it's going to be even more difficult to find a place to rent, and how is this all going to work? Now, when Richard started this new job, we didn't realise that the cost of living in Canberra was a lot higher than WA. And his wage that he was on was a lot lower than what we anticipated as well. And so we moved there. By the grace of God, we found a place to rent. It had terrible heating. If you have ever lived in the eastern states in that part of the world, heating is essential. We had very poor heating. And the wage that was Richard was on was enough just to pay the rent and the bills and nothing else. In fact, there were many weeks and a few months where I wouldn't eat during the day. I would have black cups of tea, and Richard would make curries that would last a few nights. So Shekinah, as a young baby, grew up on spicy curried food that tastes even spicier after the first night, you know. And it was a great inexpensive way of us, you know, going through that period of time. And looking back, I thank God for those tribulations. I thank God that I was able to persevere through that. That even in that situation, a few months down the track, I was able to do some house cleaning, which allowed our daughter to be in daycare, but also allowed me to go back and feed her, breastfeed her. I thank God that even as we continued on and persevered, that I was able to work at a bank for a few years and got promotions in that area. And God continued to bless and provide as we stuck out, as we persevered in that tribulation. Now, it could have been easy for us to despair and say, where are you, God? Why have you abandoned us? But actually, he was developing a character. He put us, he took us out of a place where we were surrounded by so much family, and he took us out of that and placed us in an area where we were able to grow and consolidate our marriage and our new beginnings as a family with our child. It also allowed us to develop our hope and deepen our trust in our God, that he is a good God, that we established ourselves in a C3 church over there, and we had family around us, and we have great friends that we still, you know, keep in touch on Facebook, don't we, Richard? Tribulations. Count it all joy when you are facing tribulations as an opportunity for you to deepen your hope in God, your faith in God, to develop your character. So holding on to hope. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So holding on to hope. These are the three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And so our faith in God, our hope in God, love is the greatest of these. Betsy and Corrie, I shared with you that her first vision that they will be released, that happened. The second vision that they would tell people about their experiences and how God worked through that concentration camp. We know that Corrie has done that. She went to church groups. She went to clubs. She just went to about everywhere she could to share the goodness of God and what God had done in that place. And she wrote books. She wrote The Hiding Place. She wrote Tramp for the Lord. You know, I'd encourage you to read it if you haven't. It's such a great encourager to have faith in God, in having hope in him. And the third vision that Betsy had was having a rehabilitation place for survivors of the concentration camps. And there was a lady that Corrie came in contact with who had a mansion. Can you believe a mansion? And she said, I want to give you this mansion for the rehabilitation centre that you have. when Corrie looked at this mansion, she said that it's exactly the image of how Betsy saw in the vision that God had given her of what that mansion looked like. These sprawling, you know, grassed areas. These people that went there would grow things and just allow God to heal them in that place. Can you imagine? Only a God can give a mansion to people to heal, to have hope again. When you are faced in times of what seems like hopelessness, when you experience disappointment or grief, hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Hold on to the hope that is secure and certain in who God is. God is faithful. He is with you. He is your strength, your wisdom, your eternity. Find the promise to match your need. Find the promise to counteract your circumstances. Your reality may be one thing. Find the promise in His Word. It's there. Find it. Pray it. Believe it. Hope in it. Pray for vision. Ask God to give you His vision of His plan, of His purposes, to renew your hope when you're walking through these difficult seasons. Persevere. Push through. Make courageous, wise decisions to keep going forward. Don't give up. Keep your faithfulness towards God and trust Him. Find out His vision for you. Find out His will in the situation that you are in. Pray always. Pray always. Always. Not just a little bit here, a little bit there. Pray always. We can be continually praying with our thoughts. We can be communicating with the Lord. Pray always. Remember what He has done and who He is. Speak to your soul what God says to do. Hope in Him. If you are discouraged, you can express all of that to God and also declare His goodness, declare His faithfulness. Encourage your spirit. Lift your spirit as you praise and worship Him. Stay strong by teaching the Word, by knowing His Word, by being in His house. I said it last week, the times when you are feeling low or things are happening, as Pastor Charlie even said earlier this morning, we're not here to put on a facade, we're authentic, real people. And the times when you are struggling, that's the times when you come to His house. You go to Connect Group and you share and you be encouraged and you have people pray with you. You do life with people. Persevere. Keep going. Stay the course. Faith, hope and love will last forever. Love always. Our hope in God is eternal. Our faith in God is eternal. His love is eternal. So keep your love for God and for others as the foundation to holding on to hope. Church, let's stand this morning. Whatever you are facing right now, whatever you have gone through, Father God, we thank You that we can hold on to a hope that is secure and certain in You. Father God, we thank You that through tribulations, through all circumstances, we can pray to You, we can worship You, we can ask for the vision for our future that You have for us. God, that we would trust You more, that we would bring glory to You more, that we would love more, that we would see more and more of what You have for us. Father God, I pray for every single person right here today. Lord, I just pray that you would deposit a new hope, a new revelation of the love that you have for each person here today, Father God. A new hope. Renew their hope, Father God. Strengthen their spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Amen.